Now let us turn to Acts chapter 28, and we pick up the reading at verse 11. Acts 28, verse 11. And after 3 months we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day the south wind blew, and we came next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the 3 taverns, whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Here we have Paul, Luke and Aristarchus moving nearer to Rome, the final leg of their journey. Remember, Paul's case is to be heard by the emperor himself. He had got no justice from the provincial governors, Felix and Festus. They were too concerned to please the Jews. So Paul is going to the top. He is exercising his privilege as a Roman citizen and having his case heard before the emperor Nero. Luke here records the places they passed. Verse 12, Syracuse, the chief city port of Sicily now, just off Italy. Then verse 13, Rhegium, on the coast of Italy itself. Then further along the west coast of Italy to verse 13, Puteoli. Then nearer still, verse 15, Appii Forum, meaning marketplace, which is now less than 50 miles from Rome. You can trace all these places on a Bible map, and I understand you can actually visit these places too, if you go there to that part of the Middle East. Now, here at Appii Forum, something happens to Paul. At the end of verse 15, when he saw the brethren, he thanked God and took courage. Now, those words imply that he was struggling with some anxiety and fear. And then all goes because he thanks God and takes courage. A great relief and a sweet comfort have come in. And it will be helpful to us to seek to see what it was that was so troubling him, and what made him feel so different. So let's look at his trouble and then his relief. First of all, his trouble. He thanked God and took courage. He was anxious and fearful before, and there were probably a number of factors that contributed to this. What is it that makes us anxious and fearful? Well, in Paul's case, we could think about the effects of all that had happened thus far. When you think of it, it's a tremendous amount for one man to sustain. The relentless accusations of the Jews over that period of time. And when you feel accused by people, criticized, condemned by people continually, you feel tempted to start believing it and start accepting the guilt and imagining that you must be as the people are saying you are. That's hard to bear. And you need help to be assured of your innocence. And then there was the dreadful storm, of course. Frightening. The mountainous waves, the terrific gale, the creaking of the ship, and the rising up and the going down of it, taking in the water, and the prospect perhaps of the ship breaking up and them sinking to the bottom of the sea at one point. And then the shipwreck, beached on that creek, the ship broken up completely, and they all swimming ashore, and others clinging to bits of the ship to get onto the shore, dripping wet and cold. All these things, while they were going on, you're given great grace when the need is there. But now a calmer time, and maybe it begins to hit home, all these things that have happened. It can be the aftermath. You come right down, and it's a reaction that sets in. Remember Elijah, after the great victory on Mount Carmel, then under the juniper tree, thoroughly depressed and wanting to end it all. We're helped to keep going for so long. But then when we relax, what's happened really hits us and we can be in trouble. After all, dear friends, we are human. And the Apostle Paul was a human being. We are made up of feelings, frailty, aren't we? And when we're vulnerable, we can be deeply, deeply affected, and we can feel anxious and fearful. And the Lord knows this. That's why we're told in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, those wonderfully comforting verses, how often we have turned to them, haven't we? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Remember the fatherly pity of God. And remember that he pities you more than others do. And he pities you often more than you pity yourself. The Lord's wonderful compassion and kindness and understanding of our physical frame and our infirmities and how he makes allowance for them. So the effects of what had happened, and it's not a wrong thing to be deeply affected by something so that you feel utterly drained and exhausted and weak and pitiful. But then the Lord's pity makes all the difference. So the effects of what had happened, that's one thing. But then another thing that contributed to his trouble might well be the realization of his journey's end. Verse 14, so we went toward Rome, and his hearing before Nero. During all the adventures, this was at the back of his mind. But now it comes to the forefront. And perhaps there's a temptation to think, what have I done? I'm going to have to stand before this incredibly despotic and cruel man. I'm going to ask for justice from the emperor himself. I've acted on a matter of principle. I've asserted my right as a Roman citizen. I'm in the right way. I'm doing what's right. But it's a big thing to face. And it's not unusual for Christian people who are principled and honourable to set out on a certain course, and as they pursue it, they have second thoughts and wonder, should they have done it after all? And is this right? Maybe I should have been content to leave things as they were. Maybe I should have just admitted responsibility and You see, it can be like that. The insecurity, the lack of assurance about something that's right. Have you ever felt that? You know it's a right course. You know you've done what's right. And yet, you have misgivings and second thoughts. You might say, well, what's Paul got to be troubled about on this score? Because didn't he long to get to Rome? What about chapter 19 and verse 21? When he said during that last missionary journey, he said, when he passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, he said, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. He had a burning ambition to see Rome. He'd written his Romans letter in which he expressed that, didn't he, to the believers there. He longed to see them. But the thing was, right back then, when he said, I must see Rome also, what he had in mind was to see it as part of a journey. Not coming to Rome as a remand prisoner. It's all so very different. It's turned out differently from what he envisaged. And so he's troubled about that. And you say, well, what about the Lord's assurance that he had in chapter 23 and verse 11, where the Lord had stood with him at night when all this trouble with the Jews started and he'd begun to have to stand before Felix and Festus and so on. And what did the Lord say? The Lord stood by him, chapter 23, verse 11, and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Well then, what more does he need? Such a word of reassurance from the Lord himself. Ah, but that was a long time ago. And sadly, you see, what helps you at the time tends to fade after a while. Because we don't remember so well, do we? And we can be thoroughly invigorated and blessed through something the Lord has given to us, his good word, and we think we'll go in the strength of it for many days, but it's not many days before the good of it starts to go. And we need a fresh word. We need something new to sustain us and help us. And the Lord will give it to us. But you see, at the moment, this has gone from Paul. And he feels very, very exposed and vulnerable. And he is troubled and anxious. So not only is there that all the effects of what had happened, but the prospect of seeing the thing through to the end, and that now is taking over and having this effect. But there's one more thing, and it's this: the Christians at Rome. They have been on his heart. He'd written his Romans epistle 3 years before this, in around AD 57. He'd never met them personally. He hadn't been instrumental in founding that church. But he'd heard their reputation, which had gone far and wide. And he'd written to them, rejoicing at all that he'd heard. And because he hadn't been able to actually go there yet, he sends this mighty epistle. And what an epistle it is, the epistle to the Romans. Terrific, to strengthen them and establish them. After all, Rome is the hub of the Roman Empire. The church at Rome is a key place. And if he can establish these believers in gospel truth and gospel experience and gospel practice, and tell them about the future of the Jews and how to live as Christians and so on, that will be a great blessing. And so it was. And he'd written, hadn't he, at the beginning of that epistle, chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 8. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Now that was 3 years ago, and we don't know that there was any contact with them since then. He's going to meet some of them. He is going to meet them, although they will have to visit him. He can't visit them. He'll be remanded in custody in Rome, awaiting his hearing. But how will he find them? And you know how it is. You eagerly look forward to the prospect of meeting Christians, being at a certain church. And when you get nearer, you start thinking, yes, but how will it be? How will they be? What will I find? Will my prayers have been answered? Will they still be persevering in the faith? Will persecution have been too much for them, thinks Paul? Have the Judaizers perhaps made inroads and won many of them back to the Jewish religion and renouncing the gospel? Have other false teachers come perhaps and corrupted their faith? What is it going to be? And you know, anxiety for fellow Christians can be very acute. If we love the Lord and we love his people, it matters greatly to us how other Christians are and how other Christian churches are. Most especially for a pastor, of course. Paul writes 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 8, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." It's my very life to know that you're steadfast and going on. It's like parents for children, really taken up with their well-being and how they are in the Lord. And how will these Romans be? Maybe he's alternating between hope and fear, looking forward and yet maybe dreading. Joyful and yet worried. Real trouble of heart. So put these three together. All that he'd been through and the reaction to it. Seeing the thing through to the end. Coming before the emperor. And the Christians at Rome. Churning emotions. Alternating. Up and down. One time cheered, another time fearful. That's his trouble, bearing all this. It was real. For Paul is a man of like passions as we are. He's a Christian first of all before he's an apostle. He's a man before he's a servant of Jesus Christ. And he's subject to all the things that we are subject to. And it's not reading too much into all this to see that this may well lie behind his suddenly feeling different, and he thanked God and took courage. So what's his relief then? What happened to help him? What does the Lord do to help us in these things? Well, it's in verse 15. The brethren heard of us. They came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. What it means is that a delegation of Christians from the Roman church had come to meet Paul. And these Christians and their coming changed everything. It was nothing other than the sight of these dear fellow believers. You see verse 15. The brethren. They'd heard he was coming. Look, the brethren heard of us. Probably while they were still back at that place before called Puteoli, where they had been. And so from brethren there, news reached brethren in Rome, and they came. And dear friends, it was enough to cheer and encourage Paul to see that they'd made that special effort to come and meet him. We don't know how many it was, but it was a good sized group of these dear Christians. And dear friends, the Lord knows just when to encourage us through other Christians. Just at the right time. Have you found it? I remember back in 1995, I was on the train going down to London. Not for TBS, not for Bible League. It was to the Channel 4 studios to give an interview. And my, I was scared. You may remember that back in 1995, Channel 4 screened that blasphemous film, The Last Temptation of Christ. And I was one of the ones who phoned in to complain. And I got a phone call back saying, would I be prepared to come down and give an interview, take part in a discussion panel on it. Not that I was to be on part of a panel, but I was to be interviewed separately. And what I said was to be taken into account. So catching the train at Chester, you can imagine how it feels. You've got to find the Channel 4 studios. You've got to sit in front of this camera crew. You're going to be asked questions. You've got to give scriptural answers. So I was really feeling my need of encouragement. And then as I got onto the train, who should I meet but a dear friend from Wrexham, whom we'd seen a lot of recently. He was going down to London as well. And seeing me, he tried to get me a first class compartment, but that wouldn't work. So he gave up his and joined me in the standard class. And we had a great time of fellowship all the way down to London. It was a wonderful thing because I felt the Lord had brought that man there just for me. And it was a strengthening experience. And I could see the way the Lord was ordering it. And I spent some time at the studio. Then it was decided we'd go out to Vauxhall Park and sit on a bench. And the interview would take place there. And so I was questioned and I gave my answer. And a plane flew overhead. So I had to scrap that and start all over again. And then I gave the answer again. And some other disturbance spoiled it. So they scrapped that and started again. And by the end, we had about five goes. And I was warming to it and getting better and better each time. And one of the crew said, he said, you're really getting going with this, aren't you, each time? And so the Lord wonderfully helped. But you see, it's the relief of the dear Christian man at that stage of things. And a token for good for the rest of the time. Let me tell you of another as well, just to illustrate this. In 1998, in Barnstaple Crematorium Chapel, I had to take my mother's funeral. And it's a grim enough experience anyway, but to do it in a crematorium chapel with only about 20 minutes before the next one comes is not easy. And surrounded by family, nearly all of whom are unbelievers, and I felt really, really in great need. And imagine my joy when I saw, sat in the chairs of the chapel, Pastor Kay and his wife Ruth, and a number of people from Widden Valley Evangelical Church who come specially to support us. Tremendous. And it made all the difference. I thanked God and took courage. The Lord ordered it wonderfully. It's the sight of dear fellow believers at critical times, just when you need their support, when you need their love and friendship and prayer, and their being there with you as the Lord himself is with us, but they also in his name, representing his love and thoughtfulness. So the sight of dear fellow Christians, it meant that Paul, his spirits rose. He was lifted up. He thanked God for that and was encouraged by that wonderful thing. And the other thing, of course, Christians, how are the Christians in the church at Rome? Well, here's the answer. When the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us. They came and greeted the apostle on the road to Rome, like a triumphal procession, to accompany him the rest of the journey. Christians from the church. So they must be doing all right. They're testifying of their love to the apostle. They are standing fast. It says, verse 15, from thence, that is from Rome to where they are now, about 50 miles, Appii Forum. 50 miles they travelled to meet the apostle. That's a long way to come. So they love him. They remember his letter. They treasure it. They're blessed by it, living by it, comforted and helped by it. They're obviously the blessed of the Lord, and the church is going well. And when you think of this, verse 22 in Acts 28, where the Jews afterwards they speak to Paul and they say, concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. It's a dangerous thing to be a Christian anywhere, and especially perhaps in Rome. But here they are coming out, identifying themselves with the apostle, who is handcuffed to a Roman guard and is a prisoner for the gospel's sake. They're not afraid to do so. Remember Julius, the centurion? He sees them. The Roman soldiers, they see these Christians. They're nailing their colours to the mast. They're not ashamed of Paul, not ashamed of the gospel, are they? So they must be doing well. The Lord is keeping them. They must be persevering and remaining steadfast. Well, that settles it. It's better than perhaps Paul feared. If this group of them is anything like the rest of them, it's a marvellous reassurance, a tremendous evidence of answered prayer and the fruit of his letter to them. Nothing is more joyful than to see that God has been amongst his people and kept them and helped them and is with them still. And look, the Lord gives more. Verse 15, Appii Forum and the three taverns. Now, tavern doesn't mean a pub. It's a word that means a shop or a place where you can buy food and drink for your refreshment. Alcohol as well, perhaps, but it's not tavern in the sense that we know it. So places where you can have food and drink and be refreshed. And maybe they treated Paul and bought him things, food and drink for his refreshment. There's nothing better, is there, than going with a believer to a coffee shop and having a cup of coffee and a cake and a good talk and real fellowship together. There's something very wonderful. It doesn't cost much, but my, it does the soul and the body such good. Well, you see, the Lord is evidently with Paul. And so he can see the Lord in this. Matthew Henry has a delightful comment about that, where he says, if our friends are kind to us, it is God that makes them so, that puts it into their hearts and into the power of their hands to be so. And we must give him the glory of it. And so Paul does. He thanked God and took courage. What a blessing it is to be taken out like that by the Lord's people and treated in that way. It's the evidence of Christ's love and care of us. It's rather like what Paul records in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5 and verse 6, where during one of the missionary journeys, Paul was getting really uptight about the church at Corinth, as he did often. He sent them that letter, and he was wanting to know what the effect of it was. And Titus was going to come and bring news. And 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5, when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Same kind of thing, you see, as what Paul was experiencing here. What would be the result of the letter? How would they receive it? Would they be offended and upset? Or would they repent and be benefited by it? Would God bless them through it? Would there be a change for the better or a change for the worse? 2 Corinthians 7, 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. Note that. God that comforteth those that are cast down. It's his speciality as the God of all comfort. Comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning for their sin, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, and so on, and you sorrowed to repentance. Oh, the great relief! And here he thanks God and takes courage. God is often better than our fears. We fear the worst when God is doing the best. And even if our fears apparently are well founded, we're told not to be dismayed, because it's not the end of the story. But here, it wasn't even that. Everything was wonderfully ordered, and everything was well. Trouble gave way to relief. He could thank God and take courage. So let us remember this for ourselves. There is plenty to make us anxious and fearful. We all have our own situations and our own stories. But it's a comfort to know we have the Apostle Paul for company. And he would understand perfectly how we feel and how we struggle. But you see, we've got the Apostle Paul's Lord, who does all things well. And God is pleased to come in for us, so that when he does and we see it, we can thank him and take courage. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. David was in distress. His followers talked of mutiny and stoning him for what had happened. And we read that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He turned to the Lord instantly in faith and quick prayer and refuge. Encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the psalm we sang earlier, Psalm 27, and the last verse, verse 14, is for us wonderful truth, where we're told that waiting on the Lord, we do what Paul does, and we find the same gracious result. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And our Lord Jesus in John 16 verse 33 assures us that we can do this, because he says, John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. in the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. And that word cheer, it's the same word as Paul thanked God and took courage. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It's all in his hands. He is over all. And the Lord will show us his tokens. Let's look for them. And let's cherish them when we see them. And let's read into every one of them all the fullness of their meaning to us. That God is good. He is ever mindful of us. He can come in for us unexpectedly to our joy at any time, especially at critical times. And we need have no fear. If we're seeking honestly to be in his way, the Lord will honour us and bless us. Paul is just like us. We're just like Paul. But the Lord is just like this in how he was with his apostle. He will give us cause again and again and again to thank God and take courage. Let us sing together hymn 731. How blessed